Blog Talk Radio.
Are we live?
Well, apparently the opening. Here we go.
Good evening, and welcome to WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. Come explore news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view around the globe. Tune in every night for interviews and lively discussions on current events, philosophies, traditional and not-so-traditional practices, DIY projects, the who's who and what's what of our growing pagan community right here on Blog Talk Radio in English and now in Spanish.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. And welcome to another episode of The Young Witches on Pagans Tonight with Danielle Young and
Brett Hillman. It's good to be with you all. I am your slightly older co-host this week.
Oh, dear. It seems we had a birthday.
Indeed, we did. Friday would have been my birthday, so I'm now 26, so anyone that wants to embarrass me in the chat room, you have my full permission to do so.
Happy, happy birthday from all of us to you. We wish it was our birthday so we could party too. Hey!
I like that one. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah.
Well, this week we have a very special topic on flower magic.
Yes, the language of flowers and flower magic. At some point, your devious hostess will be digging up one of her books, if she can remember where she put it, and discuss some of the 10 fasting applications of flower magic. But for now, we're just going to talk about ordinary flower magic. And maybe have a word in or two from my little birdie friend.
And thank you, Bob, for completely turning my words around once again. I love it. It's good to see you in the chat room as well as everyone else.
And if you're not in the chat, you're missing half the show. You can join the chat by signing up for a Blog Talk Radio account, or you can sign in through Facebook. It's up to you.
Yep, and I don't see very many guests this week. Some of our regulars are not in yet, but I know they are on their way, some of them. So, you know, they'll just file in as they file in, like always, and we will begin the show. Now, flowers. They are a part of nature, of course. Always growing, usually in time with the seasons. And they are used in some of the oldest rituals of ancient man, mainly funerals.
Indeed.
And, of course, weddings, which we will discuss after the break. But funerals to start off with, usually in a ritual sense, to let the body go down the path. Pass on to the next world in some cultures.
And sometimes just cover up a stench.
Cover
there are practical uses for these things, too. There are, in fact, practical uses for these things, too.
You stay for one reason, you keep it going for another.
Indeed, indeed. Though there are some associations that are older than others and filtered down through the ages into what is known by Victorian times as the language of flowers, where each type of flower has a different meaning. And you could send messages just by sending someone a bunch of flowers. One of these that is kept true all the way from ancient Greece to modern day is the rose. Of course, the rose meaning love.
Yes, and the language of flowers is known in sciencey speech as floriography. And as said, it was mainly used in the Victorian era. And depending on what floral arrangements were sent, it could be actually multiple flowers sent, and what order they were sent in could mean specific things.
Mm-hmm.
A lily generally tends to mean purity, could mean desire or passion.
It also depends on the color of the lily scent. Looking at the list I have up here, a white lily represents purity. A scarlet lily represents high-souled aspirations. And an orange lily represents desire.
So I have the same thing. I just didn't have the color representation with it. A lot of times in modern associations, lilies are used for protection. Especially if they are ground up. And I do want to say early, before we go much further into the show, I want to give my pagan service announcement for the evening on eating of flowers and herbs. Please don't do so unless you have consulted a professional and know exactly where those flowers come from, how they were grown, what has been used to treat them, and all those things, because eating flowers can be very dangerous.
Indeed. So I mentioned some of the colors of roses. Red roses represent, in fact, love. True love, in fact. Blue roses represent mystery, attaining the impossible, or love at first sight. White roses represent eternal love, along with purity, silence, and innocence, amongst other things. Black roses represent death or hatred, or in some cases, rejuvenation or rebirth. Yellow roses represent friendship. They can also represent betrayal, a broken heart, or love that is dying. Pink roses represent grace. Dark pink roses represent gratitude, while light pink roses represent desire and passion in a useful sense. Burgundy roses represent unconscious beauty. Coral or orange roses represent, again, desire and passion. Lavender roses represent love at first sight. With the red and white roses together, if a rose is both red and white, it means that it represents the sentiment of being united. And red and yellow roses represent joy and happiness. And thornless roses, as well, also represent love at first sight. And I apologize for all the background noise. It's a noisy night in my household, apparently.
That's quite all right. Now, of course, we have to go back that not all flowers have joyful meanings. We mentioned, of course, like the black roses mean hatred. Or can, at least. For example, a bird's foot trefoil would represent that someone wants to send revenge on you. Generally a good warning sign.
Indeed.
What Marcy says in the chat room usually works as a good indicator, too, that someone is mad at you. The head and the horse is very much a sign of warning and revenge.
It is. And some might know that, not realize that certain vegetables are also flowers, like asparagus.
Uh, Yes, it's just the part we eat is not the flowering body of the plant.
Well, correct. Spearleek. I've also been looking at rosemary, which is for remembrance. But it was also associated with wedding ceremonies back in the day. It was used for divination. Several herbs were grown in pots and assigned the name of a potential lover. They were left to grow, and the plant that grew the strongest and fastest gave the answer. They were also stuffed into puppets to attract the lover or attract curative vibrations for illness.
Yes, and I want to go on before we forget. Remember, our phone lines are open. The number is 347-308-8222. So if you have anything you want to talk about flowers or anything else, just feel free to call in.
And there are, of course, all sorts of things popping up in the chat. Dandelions, let's see if they're on my list.
They are for courtry. They're for courting, for flirting.
Flirting, coquetry. It means you're a little flirt. The old language of flowers. The interesting one is the daffodil, which represents chivalry, respect, uncertainty, or unrequited love. And daffodils happen to be part of the Narcissus family, which comes from the story of Narcissus, which is an old Greek myth about a man who fell in love with basically was tricked and fell in love with his own reflection.
And there are a couple of stories to tell. One, he just stared at himself until he died. Another one is he actually tried to jump in to be with himself, and he died. Generally, he doesn't end up living because, well, what Greek tragedy would have the main character living?
Well, it's a lot more complex than that, but we're going to keep it simple for tonight.
That's what I was going for.
Mm-hmm.
Oak leaf.
Tom said about my dandelion comment, no, I'm a big flirt.
Oak leaves is one you will find a lot in magical practices, especially among some of the druid orders, and so it is a symbol of strength. And I think that's very fitting that it seems to pop up a lot in magical use.
I'm looking at one of my favorites, which is not on this list. But I know carnelian, and it's either carnelian. No, it's chamomile. That's what I'm thinking of, chamomile, which is not on this list. Chamomile is one of my favorite herbs / flowers because it can be made into a tea that can help you sleep.
Indeed, and it appears a lot.
Especially with honey and lemon.
I was actually going to bring up that one next after Fova. I have it up. We cannot do a Young Witches show unless I make the horrible joke of poppies. For general use of poppies is eternal sleep, oblivion, imagination. Red poppies are, however, for pleasure, while yellow are generally used for wealth.
Yeah. Red poppies for pleasure. White is for dreams. Yep. And generally, again, as you mentioned, eternal sleep, oblivion, and imagination. Poppies. Poppies will put them to sleep.
Yeah. After Fall seems to be needs to get out of my head because he's done that too many times on the show by beating me by a few seconds before I brought something up.
Yes. Amber Hawk also mentions the chamomile is good for digestion.
Mm-hmm.
And fun fact, don't eat poppies before you go to get a drug test. You will test positive.
Yes, that is a big problem when people will have their favorite bagel in the morning and they happen to be poppies.
Mm-hmm. Marcy Summers mentions in Greco-Roman myths, poppies were used as offerings to the dead.
Now, that one I actually did not know. So that shows I only know a smattering of Greek myths, mainly from school.
Yes.
Let's see.
Saving orange blossoms for after break, because that starts getting into ye oldie.
Well, I actually have another one from the language of flowers. Another one that has a lot of uses depending on the color, carnations. Those are ones that are easy to change with breeding. General is for fascination and love. Red, of course, usually tends to go to deep passion. Green was used for a secret symbol for the followers of Oscar Wilde.
Yay, Oscar Wilde!
I'm assuming you would know more about him than I would.
Oscar Wilde, yay! He was an Irish writer and poet. I believe he was also, just double-checking, yes, he was actually put on trial for sodomy at one point.
Yes, he was. He went through a lot of weird trials over his years, mainly for his poetry.
And he wrote a couple of very important plays, the most important being The Importance of Being Earnest.
Mm-hmm. And Discovia, St. Patrick's Day, yes, a lot of green is worn. Not one of the one of my favorite holidays for the way that the Catholics use it, even though St. Patrick was nowhere ever Catholic. So that's just an interesting little point of history. Back to the carnations for white, innocence, purity, faithfulness. Pink was used for a woman's love or a mother's love. Yellow is rejection. Purple is changeable. Whimsical, flighty is a good word for it. Mauve is for dreams of fantasy. A stripe is an outright no refusal, a much harder refusal than yellow. And any solid color is an affirmative. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But don't forget to add that the solid color's color to mind, because it could mean, yes, I like you. Yes, but I don't like you. Yes, I feel exactly the same and I ache for you. Or yes, and I'll never forget you. It can mean many different things depending on what the color means. Of course, Marcy says purple rules. Looking for violets right now. And for those of you who are violets, blue violets mean faithfulness and white ones mean modesty. If you remember the scene, if for all of you who had to read Hamlet in high school or college, where Ophelia starts handing out flowers to people. Handing out flowers. Each one of them, she's actually referring to the language of flowers in that scene. So there's a fun fact for you.
And again, we are witches, so I have to bring up the flower that means a magic spell, our favorite witch hazel.
Yay!
straw is an interesting one because it actually does flower, and it is for being united. Usually when used in tying of things, of course. Sunflower, pure and lofty thoughts. It's, you know, big and tall, follows the sun and all that.
Mm-hmm. Actually trying to find Ophelia's little speech from Act, I believe it was Act 4.
Yeah, go check that out after Fav. Smelling smoke generally is not a good thing. We'll see you when you come back. Do we have any callers while you're looking for that?
We do not. I do not believe. It's just the two of us right now.
Okay, making sure, because... Is there anything that anyone would like to ask about? Well, my co-host is searching for that. I will go to the chat room for a little bit and just ask if they're looking for a specific meaning of a flower or an association. I might be able to find that for you.
And it looks like they're saying, I can look up a little bit. Someone said their great-grandmother loved pink carnations. My favorite flower is roses. Roses.
These are nice. When I was growing up, there was a lot of tulips on the island that I used to live on. I used to live on a small little island called Gross Island. There was tons of tulips there. And for that one, a red tulip is a declaration of love, and a yellow one is hopeless love. Hopelessly in love, head over heels.
Oh, here's the speech. There's rosemary, that's for remembrance. Pray, love, remember. And there is pansies, that's for thoughts. There's fennel for you and some columbines. There's rue for you, and here's some for me. We may call it herb grace this Sunday. Oh, you must wear your rue with the difference. There's a daisy. I would give you some violets, but they withered all when my father died. They say he made a good end. Rosemary is, in fact, for remembrance, and pansies or thoughts.
A morning glory is a love in vain, Scorpio. A lot of times used in the fact of a unrequited love that ends in a death.
Fennel and columbines. I'm looking at fennel and columbines. Fennel, which is strength, or as in Hamlet, flattery and deceit. I cannot find what columbines are. Rue, of course, is for regret and sadness. That's also poisonous. So it could be foreshadowing for her eventual suicide. Daisies mean innocence and faith. And violets, of course, mean faithfulness and modesty. She says all of that withered away when my father died. She's speaking for herself.
I don't see garlic here, but of course we know that it brings back vampires, so, you know, always have enough garlic on you. Though I do know for a fact in the Greek story, the Odyssey, Ulysses ate garlic to protect himself from Circe's magic. Thank you, Marcy. I wasn't sure on that one. Rue usually means regret. Mm-hmm. Yes.
This has certainly been. One of my other favorite ones is the name says it all as far as its nature. Love Lies Bleeding is the name of this flower, and it symbolizes hopelessness. There's a type of amaranth that has a lot of beta-cyanins in it. Let me find out a little more on that.
Oh, another thing with garlic, there is no such thing as too much garlic. Ever. It's also very good for your heart, so enjoy your garlic. Dandelions. We did mention dandelions. They are used for flirting. Again, a bleeding heart is a really self-explanatory name.
Oh, God, that's it. I was looking at a page for flower magic, and they list spells for prosperity, protection, maiden energy, mother energy, crone energy, lord energy, and really great pasta.
Yummy. But one that catches my eye. Corn flowers are for elegance. I also can't help the fact that they're one of my favorite characters in a book series, but that's just me.
What's a series? Share with us.
Mm-hmm.
What book series, my dear?
That would be the Redwall series. By Brian Jakes, who just sadly passed away this year, or last year.
Oh.
So, I need to get through the rest of those books. But they're one of my favorite series, always have one, always will be. If you're a fan of the Secret of Nymph movie, you might like the Redwall series.
And we're almost at the bottom of the hour. So, going to find us a song to listen to during our breaks. I'm going to listen to the aptly named Emerald Rose and their song, Four Jacks. So I hope you enjoy this, and we'll see you after the break.
Beneath the shawl of a wife, and you wrap your cloak up gentle wind, but still you feel it fight. When many miles at home to feed, this dear must not be lost. But when you sing the prayer and let the arrow fly, you conjure up Jack Frost. Feeling hot like breath, and the rising sun climbing high in the sky calls acorns to their quest. When oak on earth surrenders the seed and the meadows with queer. But when you stem the jig of furrow and plow, you celebrate Jack Green. Scarlet and brown, and a carpet of leaves is laid.
Logan Wood from Pagans Tonight. I'd like to share a few words with you from Reverend Don Lewis on supporting a new project to create the completed series of video lessons for the first, second, and third degree.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from beautiful Salem. I'd like to ask you to take a few minutes and visit my Indiegogo campaign. You can find it at indiegogo.com/witchschoolvideolessons. This is a fundraising campaign I'm conducting to raise money to help finance my finishing of the video version of our Witch School degree lessons, first, second, and third degree. My goal is to finish them by spring, and I'm hoping that people will support this project with donations to help me to accomplish it. We have a number of wonderful thank you gifts for people who make donations, and I hope you'll consider donating. And if you're not able to donate, I hope you'll support the campaign in other ways by letting people know it's happening. I feel that this is really a revolutionary project, something that will do a great deal of good in the world, and I hope that I can count on your support for it. Until next time, may you bless.
Thanks for sharing that information with us, Don. That website again is indiegogo.com/witchschoolvideolessons. Thanks for your continued support. Merry part and blessed be.
Forget that if you don't have an account for Blog Talk Radio, you can get one for free just for registering. And now, back to our show.
And welcome back to the Young Witches on Pagan Site with your hosts, Danielle Young and Brett Hillman.
Welcome back, everyone. Well, speaking of the Young Witches, I'm pretty sure I heard that new episodes of the show should be actually getting posted pretty soon here for the YouTube show. So,
watch on that. Looks like we have a couple of callers in the queue. Let me dive in and see who they are.
All right. We'll be here.
Hello? Who might we have here?
I don't think you actually went into the chat room. I still hear you.
God damn it.
All right. Yes, and that book has helped a little bit this evening. Marcy, thank you for sending me the book.
I'm having problems here. I'm not sure. But yes.
So no, we're not receiving a caller, I'm guessing, then?
I couldn't hear things. I guess it's just having a couple of issues. I did not drop.
No, you did not. You are still here.
Messages. I'm just going a little crazy tonight. But yes.
All right, I'm trying to read
that. It's time, since we are in the second section of the night, I was going to bring up, of course, dun dun dun, dun, the flowers for love and weddings, since I finally dug up my book.
Yes, indeed. And there are flower uses for multiple stages of the wedding or hand fasting in our case.
Mm-hmm. Here they mentioned, I have an excellent book here. It's called Hand Fasting and Wedding Rituals, Welcoming Hera's Blessing. I believe you can purchase these through the World of Witches Museum, so do support us. For the bridal wreath, they bring out some of the flowers you can use are asphodel. While generally a flower of mourning, it can symbolize love that endures even beyond death. You have baby's breath, if children are wanted. You have calama and cupid's darts, honeysuckle, bluebells, which symbols constancy, ivy, it symbolizes bonds and inseparability. Kiss me over the garden gate. Love lies bleeding, which here symbolizes love that endures difficulty. Love in a mist. Orange blossoms, which are traditional for the bridal wreath, but considered unlucky for anything else. Of course, roses. White clover. And wild geraniums. They also suggest that yarrow, which is traditionally presented to the bride in a small bouquet in the receiving line, as it represents knowledge and experience which she would supposedly gain in the first days of her married life.
Very, very interesting. A lot of those seem to fit with some of the previous ones that we've said, and some of them completely seem to go against the complete rule of what we've said before in the use of a wedding or hand fasting. Yes, I have heard that. That was one of the things I forgot to bring up when I mentioned garlic, because I was waiting for this part of the show, that they were used to drive away evil spirits, which brings a lot of the myths about vampires, of course. They are considered evil spirits. Lots of superstition and whatnot go into the practice of garlic. Probably because it just makes people feel better and they start to think that things are away, but...
I finally found out what columbine means. Especially in its red form, it means... ancient and trembling passion.
That would make sense.
I found there's an even longer list in Appendix C of the book called Flowers of Love.
Okay.
They have all sorts of forms of love. And for fidelity, you could use something like a bay leaf, which means I change but in death, or bamboo, which represents loyalty and steadfastness. Buttercups, of course, are childishness, and cheerfulness. And hops, that stuff that goes in your beer, represents mirth.
Yes,
which makes
indeed.
Sense.
Because we have to love the alcohol on the show, of course. We do not condone the use of alcohol for the underage. Everyone else, feel free to party after the show.
But don't party too hard because we got the Pagan Variety Show on next.
I meant after that. So admittedly, a lot more fun could be had during the show as well. Wow, we are a strange group of people here on the Young Witches. Gotta love watching the chat room on occasion.
Ooh, and they represent flowers that symbolize bewitchment by the beloved.
Which is always fun.
Catnip represents intoxication with love. Which, if you've ever seen a cat, yeah.
There are the moments they truly wish I had cats.
Almond represents a lover's charm, and of course, the ever famous apple represents temptation.
A poisoned apple, going back to our fairy tale talk from last week. Alcohol in religious rituals? Well, alcohol is used a lot of times in religious rituals. In fact, it's carried over to the modern use in communion. Now, being drunk in most rituals is generally not helpful. And a lot of times it's just plain rude. You know, you gotta, when you're in part of a ritual, please behave yourself.
This has been our pagan service announcement of the evening. The more you know, shooting star. If you get that joke, you were... Oh, good.
The more you know.
Shooting star. we're dating ourselves here.
Just a little bit.
Just a little. Of course, the interesting thing is, sometimes flowers can have different meanings between cultures. Cherry blossoms, for example. They can represent, here in the West, education or spiritual beauty. Where in places like Japan, they represent the transience of life. A reminder of just how fleeting life is, and therefore how beautiful it is in its imperfection. While in China, it's a symbol of feminine beauty.
Maybe
it probably makes that scene in Mulan. That makes that scene in Mulan where they're hanging out in the garden with all the cherry blossoms mean that much more.
Yes, indeed. And, again, it's very interesting how East and the West, we could see an actual flip-flop in a lot of the meanings of our rituals. Again, since we were talking about weddings, for example, in the West, we tend to use white as a wedding dress in purity, while in the East, black is more frequently seen as a wedding color.
of course, tying back into the wedding stuff and plants and flowers. I'm trying to scroll back as fast as I can through my book. Yes, I do have a digital copy of this book now, because I love it that much. Loved it so much, I had to buy it twice. Where was it? There were woods that you can use in the traditional broom for broom jumping, which include any fruit tree, traditionally apple, is especially good. But you can also use cherry, peach, apricot, plum, orange, lemon, or any other fruit wood. Birch wood symbolizes beginnings. Any sort of flowering tree, such as mimosa, lilac, or crepe myrtle. Hawthorn, which is the May tree, sacred to the love goddesses of Beltane. Linden, which symbolizes bonding and peace. Of course, there's Rowan, which is sacred to Bree, or Bridget. And of course, the best of all, the traditional love-oriented wood, maple.
That's very good that you mentioned Bridget, because we are nearing Imbolc in a week or so here, and that would be her festival.
And you're our Bree fanatic here.
Yes, indeed. And I just wrote a post about her for the Pagan Blog Project not too long ago. I don't have anything for tonight's show. I've had a very long day at work, so I didn't get a chance to write that out. So, sorry everyone that I, 1 week in, I've already failed to keep the blog post for the show. I think the show has gone rather well so far, and there's a lot of things. We can go into more modern associations of plants, not just the language of the flowers.
Indeed.
Let me pull that up.
And white was not always used in the West. In fact, as Katrina Kessler says in the chat, white is not used in the West. It symbolizes purity because an English queen thought it would be a good color to wear instead of the traditional silver. So folks started to wear white to feel like a princess. Went to a lovely exhibit on weddings a couple of years ago, and that was at one of the local museums, the Peabody Essex Museum. And they actually had a beautiful blue wedding dress from the Victorian era that I was madly in love with. And in places like India and Eastern countries, you see a lot of red.
Yes. And going to, I now have some of my modern associations up for plants, so we can get into that. If for those of you that want aid with their Book of Shadows and whatnot, which is very much, this show alone has already helped me with that. A couple extra pages for that magical book of mine.
Of course, another one of my favorite magical plants is henna. Because it just has so many different uses.
Yes,
especially
indeed.
Especially as a dye.
Lots of flowers are used rather well as a dye, and especially the more coveted ones tended to be in the range of, like, for example, purples and violets and whatnot. As, of course, the ruling class wore purple for many, many years.
That was because purple dye was extremely hard to come by because it came through a process that involved a very long and elaborate process involving especially a certain type of mollusk shell that you had to leach the dye from, and then you could only dye very small swaths of fabric with what you had. So it became so exorbitant that only the royals could use purple dyes.
Yes, indeed. And it was called, when you became king, it was not a coronation by crown. It was called receiving the purple.
Mm-hmm. That is neither here nor there.
Yes.
Indigo is another wonderful plant that is also used as a dye.
Mm-hmm.
We started going into plants that flower to plants that die.
Yes,
and by dye, I mean clothing, putting
yes.
color in clothing.
I was going to say, most flowers will eventually die.
Most flowers will eventually die. And
but,
as I mentioned on one of my videos, dried roses are great offering to give to Hela, goddess of the underworld in Norse mythology.
That I honestly did not know. Granted, I don't study the Norse as much as you. So it's good to go into the various flowers and just see where their stories are in the myths of the ancient gods, because it gives a whole new meaning to the flower associations.
Mm-hmm. Fine. Indigo. This comes from the plant Indigofera. Tinctoria, which is a beautiful little flowering plant. It's got pretty purple flowers, or indigo flowers, if you want to say that. And it is a legume, which means it is related to alfalfa and beans. So I wouldn't recommend eating it. I don't imagine it would taste very good.
Again, with my previous statement on eating flowers, don't do it unless you consult a professional and know every single bit of where that flower came from for just general safety purposes. I've seen a lot of internet sites say ingest this plant, and I'm thinking, no, do not do that. That one is particular poisonous. I'm not going to give an example because I don't need people running out and looking for that source right now, because I think it is gone, thankfully. But always consult a professional.
Also, they mention it. Let me look up for Artemisia absinthium, which is, in fact, the form of wormwood used to make, used in absinthe. Another fact about absinthe, we'll go into a show about liquor at some point, I'm sure, given our audience.
More than likely, yes. And we'll make sure that we set a specific time and a place for it.
Yes. And since we're coming upon the top of the hour so incredibly quickly, I would like to point out next week's topic is sun and moon, gods and goddesses of the heavens.
Oh, so that one will be an interesting show topic. In a month here, I will be going to CombocCon. So it'll be my first gathering with many other witches. So maybe when I come back from that, I can discuss my experiences, and maybe we can talk about getting involved with your community. And the week after this, we are, of course, going to do our nerd topic from a pagan perspective, and we will be discussing, of course, The Legend of Zelda.
So, yes, our next month's pagan perspective, or a nerd night, as we call it colloquially, is Legend of Zelda, a pagan perspective.
Yes, and then...
After that, we will have some more topics set up for you, and we'll announce them as they come.
Right, we don't want to go too far ahead, but we also don't want to not wait till the last minute for a show topic.
Yeah, and someone, and of course, Dina Asian, Dane asks, are you ever going to do a Star Trek episode?
I think we can fit that in somewhere in there.
Somewhere a little down the line. Of course, they mentioned Belladonna, Deadly Nightshade, a poisonous plant and a witchy woman all in one. I have personal associations with the Belladonna plant due to my love of comics. Belladonna was Gambit's first wife, and that affair ended horribly with his brother-in-law dead and him exiled. Whenever Belladonna showed up, it always meant trouble.
Yes, indeed. That's okay, Dionysian Dame. We all have our little nerdy moments. Cursing in Klingon is not a bad one.
Indeed. But since we're getting towards the top of the hour, we're going to start getting into final thoughts. So, Brett, final thoughts on floral magic and the language of flowers.
Not so much a flower or final thoughts as an observation. This was a topic that I really had to look a little deeply into because I knew nothing about it, and I think I had grown a little bit just from this topic.
And that is one of the points of being a... being part of the Young Witches, we grow and learn together. I personally didn't know as much as I would have liked to about this topic and had to start digging and doing some research. And I learned a few things as well. And I hope all of you did too tonight.
And I think we had some real experts in the chat room, which made it that much more enjoyable for everyone involved.
So thank you, chat. Yay! You are wonderful people. And since we are coming upon the top of the hour, it's almost time for the Pagan Variety Show with Liz Hamilton. Yay! I believe in just a short while we will be switching over to... Take a variety show. And I would like to thank you for joining us tonight on the Young Witches of Pagan's Night. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Young Witches on Pagan's Night. And may you blessed be.
Brightest blessings.
Sacred Art for Your Magical Life. Mythic Images is dedicated to the rebirth of mythology and the awakening of Gaia. We invite you to explore our collection of pagan and goddess-oriented images, including Oberon's famous millennial Gaia. Oberon and Morning Glory Zell create...
The end of one week and the beginning of the next. I love Sundays. Welcome to the Pagan Variety Hour with me, your host, S. Liz. Liz Hamilton, yep, that's me. Let me tell you, as I told you last week, what I've been doing this week. I have been learning the valuable art of patience this week, especially with these lovely computers we call technology and everything associated with technology. Let me see, what gave me difficulty first? Oh yes, well, the most obvious was the need for two songs to kind of segue into the show here after the lovely Young Witches show. I'm still kind of learning, so I thanks y'all for your patience. And I'm just so happy to be here. And I have a bunch of weird and wacky stuff to share with you guys this week. Where is my little file? Oh yeah, okay. So first, let's start off with some music, since that's like what I'm kind of centered around these days. If you haven't heard of this awesome musician called S.J. Tucker, you really, really, really gotta check this skinny white chick out. She is the bomb of pagan music. Especially her album called Blessings. It's a pagan album, man. Go visit her, check her out. Music.skinnywhitechick.com. If I'm not mistaken, I think we even have some of her music in our little variety mix-up stuff here. So maybe we can get some of that for you later. And another one, of course, is Wendy Rule. And, oh, yeah, that's right. I wanted to make this correction from last week. I told you about this really awesome pagan rock, or like, you know, heavy metal hardcore band called Tyr, T-Y-R. Actually, it's pronounced Queer, like, you know, P-W-E-A-R, Tweer, you know, but with the Faranese accent. I don't know where the island of Faranese people are personally, but, you know, they said that it was fine to pronounce it Tweer because that's what they expect, because they don't expect everybody to speak Faranese and know the little pronunciation idiosyncrasies and stuff. So, yeah. Anyhow, I hope y'all are having as much fun as I am. And let's see. Oh, today is brought to you by the English letter W for sensuality. And for more on magical alphabets, we have Witch School's awesome course, The Second Degree, which has a whole chapter on magical alphabets for all of your magical alphabetical needs, whether it be writing spells, keeping a secret journal that nobody else can read unless they have the cipher, and stuff like that. let me see. And I have a few really awesome definitions here. Cizin, C-I-Z-I-N, is the Mayan earthquake god and a god of death, often depicted in the form of a dancing skeleton holding a smoking cigar or cigarette. Ew, cigars and cigarettes, bad for your lungs. But, you know, they thought it was good for you back in those days, but now we know better, so we're not going to smoke, are we, boys and girls? No, we're not. That's right. Clap, clap. Iceland! Oh, right. Thank you, Marcy. I just saw that because I logged back into the chat room. Ah, well. And, oh, wow, Brett Hillman, a.k.a. Rune, happy birthday, like, 3 days late, but, you know, we'll have to schedule the birthday ear pinches later. I've been known to pinch an ear so that you grow an inch. And I think I'm getting the hint from our awesome producer, or man behind the curtain, that we want to play a song. So let's go ahead and play Go Away, God Boy. This song is like the paramount song that I play every time I hear a song or I hear a person that makes me just want to go, ah, slap you because you're silly. And, you know, you're insensitive and close-minded. So, yeah. Take us away, Ed, please. Do, 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 do. And I can always just ramble on for another minute while Ed finds that for us. Not a big deal. Oh, question before we go into that. In the mythology of the Igbo tribe, who is Allah? A-L-A. Allah. Or Ela.
Mine made up mine, was not prepared.
the chat room a person who believes that the song is kind of childish, especially considering that, yeah, it's merely a difference in theology and how we see God, but really, I don't view it as childish, and here's why. Here's the short list, the Liz's short list on why. It's because there are just some people who insist that they're right, no matter what, even when they're wrong, or even when there's evidence that supports them being perhaps not the only way that's right. And yet they keep banging their heads, insisting and ranting and raving with their Bible in their hands and their Lamb of God attitudes that we are the one true and right and only way, so come join us or burn in hell. Sorry, you can take that elsewhere. And that's what S.J. Tucker is basically saying in a nice way in her song, in a not-so-nice way in her song. So, yeah. That's Liz's explanation for the reason why the song is not childish at all. It's actually really cool. The answer to the question that we had before our break, nobody called in. That's so sad. You'll just have to call in the next 15 minutes when we go on our next little music pause to get the next answer. Let's see. The goddess Ela in the Igbo tribe of Nigeria. Yes, Nigeria. That's her. I lost the answer. Oh, dear. Well, somebody said that it was a mother goddess, but I don't know if that's correct. Oh, here we go. She is the goddess of fertility and is often depicted with a small child in her arms. Huh. Who would have thunk it? That's kind of cool. And let's see. We had a bunch of auctions going on at the World of Witches Museum this week. So if you're in need for an awesome gift for that friend or relative, then you can direct them to the World of Witches Museum eBay store and have them pick out whatever they like and then bid on it until you win. Let me see. Here's a question. What's your favorite color? And what would you use it for in magic? That's just something to get your goat going. We have a spam person in the room. Guess what? No more spam. Spam is goodbye. Kick. Fare thee well. Bye, spam person, Twitter. Oh my gosh. Before I have to crush you like a bug. See, that's the ones that get that song. Go away, God boy. Go away, spam bot. And I take a bow for handling the hammer. Anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah. Green for growth. Go, Bellflower. Woo. Come on. Throw me out some more colors. Let's see. How about purple for spirituality? Woo, that's my favorite color. Hey, that might just be a 20 questions game question. What's Liz's favorite color? Purple. Red? Why do you like red, Ed? Because it's awesome and lionish and roar? Ooh, Brett Hillman likes blue. I like blue, too. It's nice and calm and, you know, ooh, one of the few colors I can see. Ed is colorblind? What? Who would have thunk it? I did not know Ed was colorblind. Did you? And actually, my mom is colorblind, but I can see all the colors pretty well. And I'm really glad for that. oh, my goodness. So, yeah, my mom used to not be able to differentiate between red and green M&Ms, which was kind of funky. They just all kind of looked like the same color to her, I suppose. I really don't know what it's like to be colorblind. I guess it's one of those things where you just have to keep coming back until you get all the experiences. And that's, you know, that's one of the great things about this religion, this path, this belief, is that, you know, we just keep coming back over and over and over, reincarnation, that sort of thing, until we are learned. Oh, and look, we have Lexi on the line. Hi, Lexi. How are you today?
Hey, Liz.
I'm
how you doing?
Doing
well.
Excellent. Perfect. That's what I like to hear. So, what's going on in the land of Salem? I almost said Oz.
Salem is Salem. It is cold. I don't like the cold. It's snowy. I like the snow, but I don't like the cold.
You know, I like snow, too. I like to look at it from indoors where it's nice and warm.
Yeah,
and
basically.
That's about it.
Today is kind of slushy.
Ah, yes. We can sympathize here in Minnesota. As
you know,
I like
where
to call
I'm
it.
From, they don't got this stuff.
No, of course not, because you're from the South. Which state were you originally from?
No. I'm sorry?
Which state were you originally from again?
I'm from Georgia.
Georgia.
And South Carolina.
So there you go. They don't get to know where you're from.
Nope. I'm from the low country.
You're a lucky gal.
Yeah, I'm from the low country.
Yeah.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I missed you. Why aren't you in Salem?
Well, because I just visited you guys in Salem, and you weren't there. What's up with that, man? You weren't there when I was there to see you.
That's your loss.
I know it's my loss. You should have been there, man. It was your fault. It's your fault.
All my fault. Blame it on
yes.
me because I
yes.
can handle it.
Yeah, that's right.
Lots of love.
Yes, lots of love and cookies. Come to the dark side.
So I have no reason for calling in other than saying how much I love you and how much I love you hosting the show.
Thank you, Lexi. That made my entire week.
Oh, you're making me feel bubbly. Stop it.
I'm sorry. It's my energy. I can't help myself.
I know. You're making my day, though. So thank
you. Thank you. That's awesome. Well, let me see. Okay. Do you have, like, a random little factoid that you want to throw out there for us?
Did you know that alligators like marshmallows?
Alligators like marshmallows? Really?
Yes. My
I don't know
grandfather...
About.
No, seriously, my grandfather was the captain of the Fish and Game Board, okay? So you're messing with, like, the real deal. And,
wow.
And he used to always catch alligators, not with chicken, not with beef, not with dog or cat. He used to use marshmallows.
Wow. So the next time you're in the low country and you're wanting to track down some alligator... Throw out a marshmallow.
No, please don't feed the alligators. It's actually illegal.
It's illegal to feed the alligators. Don't do that. Bad. Bad alligator feeding people. Bad. Very bad.
Because they become man-eaters.
Oh,
and
dear.
We prefer them not to be man-eaters.
No.
We're
having
feeding the alligators.
Yeah.
But if you ever need to get an alligator out your yard or away from you, have a bag of marshmallows. Which is technically still illegal, but, you know, life or death situation, you know, I'd feed him.
Yeah, totally. I totally would have a bag of marshmallow just sitting in my car, man. Or one of them jars of fluffernutter, you know, fluff, the melted marshmallow stuff.
I have another one.
Oh, go for it. Tell us.
So this one's a little gruesome, but it has to do with alligators, too.
Okay.
Did you know that alligators cannot digest a human skull?
Really? That is
no,
scary.
It's impossible for them to crush the human skull. So if you go dumping bodies in the swamp, you'll still find the skull.
Oh, dear. Okay, so rule number one, don't feed the alligators. Rule number two, don't bury the dead bodies in the swamp.
Yeah, so
rule number
that's
three,
forensic.
Just don't get into a situation where you have to bury a dead body to begin with and you'll be fine. Yeah.
Yeah, don't mess with Lexi.
Yeah, don't mess with Lexi because she'll eat your face off. And we all know that's perfectly possible because she has a wicked spear. I almost said a bad word. Bad Liz. Bad Liz, no cursing on the air. That was my first slip-up of, like, 2 weeks, though. I'm really proud of myself.
Good job. See,
yeah,
I brought it out on you. It's not your fault.
Yeah, I know. You
I'm a horrible
are...
one, so.
Yeah, you're a bad influence. But you know what? I like you. I think we'll keep you around. Because you like my show. So, yeah. Anyway, is there a particular song you want to hear on this next little segment, dear?
Do we have any Kellyanna?
Kellyanna! I love Kellyanna. I was just talking about her earlier today. Did you know one of the people who do reviews for music on... Oh, yeah, we have lots of Kellyanna, by the way. Who do reviews for music on, I think it's like ehow.com or something like that, did a pagan music review and voted Kellyanna as one of the worst pagan musicians they've ever heard of. I'm sorry, but I totally, utterly disagree with that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's just no way. She's one of the best.
Yeah, by far. I mean, she's my favorite, hands down. I've seen this woman three times in concert or twice.
Really?
It's three times.
Oh, my gosh. You're so lucky.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I am, and she's great appearance, great attitude, and I love her stuff. Do we have Stonehenge by Kellyanna?
I don't think so. Let's see. We have The Horned God, The Fall with Dragon Ritual Drummers. She is Crone, Bridget's Flame, and...
She's Crone.
She is Crone. Okay, we're going to throw out a random factoid from the World of Witches Museum feed on Facebook. Let me get one. Aha! Magical plant fact. Garlic is an aphrodisiac. Go figure. And did you know that hematite was called bloodstone? And let me see. Oh. What is the plant, or fruit, I should say, whose folk name is grenadier? Call 347-308-8222 and give us your answer. Find out in about 4 minutes after this.
She is teacher and experience. She is wisdom. She is crone. She is teacher and experience. She is wisdom. She is crone. She stirs the cauldron of all knowledge. She is the bringer of death and rebirth. She stirs the cauldron of all knowledge. She is the bringer of death and rebirth. She is teacher and experience. She is wisdom. She is crone. She is teacher and experience. She is wisdom. She is grown in the darkness, time of Samhain. In the dream time, she sits and stirs. In the darkness, the time of Samhain. In the dream time, she sits and stirs, sits and stirs. She is teacher and experience. She is wisdom. She is grown. She is teacher and experience. She is wisdom. She is grown. She will lead you to your dark mind. And at the crossroads, she'll be your guide. She will lead you to your dark mind. And at the crossroads, she'll be your guide. She is teacher and experience. She is wisdom. She is grown. She is teacher and experience. She is wisdom. She is grown. She is grown. She is grown. With the cauldron of all knowledge, she sits and stirs at the cross.
Double shot there for you. And the answer to our question, the folk name for this fruit is grenadier, would be the pomegranate. Yay! I love pomegranates. They're so delicious and yummy. And they also are a representative fruit of the... Sorry. The representative fruit of the goddess, actually. And the songs that you heard were Kellyanna, She Is Crone, and Kenny Klein, Brothers of the Forest. And actually, I'd never heard of that song before by Kenny Klein, something like that. Oh my goodness, Lexi, the fruit of the goddess is so not a lemon or a limon or whatever. it's totally the pomegranate, okay? All those seeds inside waiting to be planted in the ground and make an awesome, tall, fruitful pomegranate tree. What? Vangelo della Strega? What? What? All right, give me the link. I want to see proof. I want proof. I am like a Missouri person or a Mississippi person. I can't remember which one it is. But, oh, a lemon represents a lemon. What the heck is a lemon? Lemon? A cross between a lemon and a lime? I don't know. What's a lemon? She's arguing with me in the chat room. This is so great. Oh, wow. Just a reminder, this show is full of randomness and laughter and utter bubbles. So if you don't like laughter and randomness and utter bubbles, then this show is probably not for you. Leave your stern, no, sorry, my cat just jumped on the clean laundry that I spent all day doing. So leave your stern, no nonsense faces at the door because I'm full of it. So, let's see. Does anyone know the magical properties of copper? We will find out in a little bit the magical properties of copper. I like copper, except the smell. I really can't stand the smell of copper. But copper is really pretty, especially when it's all nice and shined up. And let me see. Oh, I already did that one. Oh, my goodness. There is just so much stuff rattling around in my brain. I really don't know what to say next. So I think in a couple of minutes here, oh dear, I'm just, wow, got sidetracked by everything going on in the chat room. Ah! Oh, apparently copper attracts the fae. So if you want copper, if you want fae, hey, no mooning the hostess here, Miss Lexi Renee. Oh, man, we got the spam dude back in the chat room again. And he's gone. Poof. Yes, I really want to kick him. Goodbye. Go away, spam bot. I can't remember the rest of the song, but you know it, because I just played it like half an hour ago, so. I have to turn it on. Hold on one moment. I'm fixing a technical difficulty here at the house. Our cable box will not come on. Cable, power. Ah! See, this is the patience technology thing that I've been talking about. That's been happening, you know, like all week. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway. Yeah, I think that does... I think that is grounds from Permaban there, Brett, the dude with the Facebook.com spam and Twitter.com spam stuff. Ooh, and the answer to our question, what are the magical properties of copper? It helps to mend the mind, according to our lovely Marcy Summers. Yeah, and let's not moon people, please. I really don't need to see that. Copper in alchemy is associated with Venus. Yay, lovely Venus. Venus of Willendorf, anybody? Woot. And we have somebody else on the line. Thank you, Ed, for telling me, because I totally was not paying attention to the switchboard. Hi, Katrina. You're on the air. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Liz?
I'm super fab.
Awesome. Well, I just wanted to call in because I heard you talking about our eBay earlier.
You did? Okay, what cool sort of stuff do you have? Because you're like the eBay person.
Yeah, I noticed that you said that they would make great gifts, and that is completely true. And the best part is we have a whole bunch of stuff for Valentine's Day because that's coming up.
Oh, yeah, I almost forgot about Valentine's Day. How could I forget about Valentine's Day? It's 3 days before my mother's birthday. I don't know. But anyway, what do we got for Valentine's Day?
Well, my personal favorite thing that is on there is this rose quartz non-point, because you know how some stones have the points on them?
Yeah.
This one doesn't, so you can use it to, you can actually, like, put it against your skin or like your hand or something like that so that you can put love into yourself or into somebody else. So it's a really great healing wand.
That's so cute. So it's like smooth?
It's smooth on the end. It's blunted because so that way you can put it into something instead of sending it out into the universe.
Oh, right. Hey, that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
well,
it's really neat. Yeah.
Okay,
not,
so...
But it is gently mined, which is another cool fact.
Ooh. Hey, gently mining is good. It's good for the earth. I think that all of our gems that we get from the World of Witches Museum should be gently mined. What about you?
The vast majority of them are.
Excellent. Hey, we are living it green, living it large.
Yes, we are.
Sweet. So what else we got if we're not, like, you know, into the whole rosy quartz thing?
Well, we also have a 5-book set of a whole bunch of books for Valentine's Day. And the best part of it is they're starting only at $9.99. So you're getting a whole bunch of books for free.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really awesome because, you know, a lot of the books are kind of really expensive. So, you know, take advantage of this deal, guys. You're getting a steal here. I'm telling you.
Definitely a steal. Also, we have a lot of, I don't know if you guys give out Valentine's Day cards, but we have some Valentine's Day cards with Reverend Don's original artwork on them.
Ooh, and Reverend Don is like the bomb when it comes to artwork. His original art, guys, you got to have. One-of-a-kind pieces. You won't see them anywhere else except for maybe in some books or maybe on the internet if you're lucky. But seriously, take it home, frame it, put it up on a wall, and in 10 years you'll be able to say to your kids, hey, I know the man who made that, and see, it's got his signature on it. It'll be a signature piece.
Well, yeah. These are actually cards, which are reprints of his original artwork. So,
okay,
they're not the original artwork, but they're prints of it. And
there you go.
And that way you don't have to worry about giving them out.
Okay.
You can share the love, share the art.
Share the love on Valentine's Day. Yay. I hope Valentine's Day falls on a Sunday. I'm totally going to do, like, a mushy-gushy episode. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah. So, what else is happening in your life? Or did you just call to tell us about eBay and the awesomeness of it?
I'll tell you guys about eBay because I'm really excited about Valentine's Day.
I am excited about Valentine's Day, too. And it falls on a Tuesday. So, I think that on the Pagan Variety Hour in a few weeks, we're going to have a pre-Valentine's Day Valentine's party thing. Yeah. So I'll have to get all kinds of sorts of love facts and stuff. So maybe you can help me with that later on this week. What do you think?
Yeah, sure.
Sweet. So is there a particular song that you want to hear? Or an artist?
Not really.
Throw out an artist.
Something especially pagan. Upbeat, though.
Ooh, upbeat. Okay. How about drums?
Drums sounds fantastic. Oh, Dragon Ritual Drummers would be great.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm, like, looking at here. I'm like, ooh, drums. I love Dragon Ritual Drummers. Okay. I think I'm going to play a long song because we're coming up to the top of the hour already. Oh, pout. And I think we're going to go with Wake the Dragon because that just sounds really awesome. What do you think?
That sounds great.
All right. Thanks for calling in, honey. And here is Dragon Ritual Drummers, Wake the Dragon, coming at ya. Heck yeah. Heck yeah, guys. How's that for a song to close out our show? Well, I just have one thing more that I want to tell you. Don't forget, we take requests for music and themes. If you want your favorite pagan artist featured on the Pagan Variety Hour or any other program we have on Pagans Tonight Radio Network, brought to you by the awesomest Blog Talk Radio, email us at paganstonight@gmail.com. And at that same email address, you can also send in your comments and questions or random witchy, pagany, new agey facts you want to hear out there on the air on my show, the Pagan Variety Hour, every Sunday night, right after the Young Witches. Have a phantasmical start to another magical week, guys, and I'll see you next Sunday. Blessed be.
Thank you for joining us on Pagans Tonight. You can hear us every night right here on Blog Talk Radio. For all questions, comments, or show suggestions, email us at pagans tonight@gmail.com and let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear from you. You can also visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on LiveJournal. Good night and blessed be. For releasing blockages. I now release from my deepest self all my fears and limitations, both known and unknown to me. All things that